Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, and when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, and that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this evening Dustin and Brooke Grisnick, who have come home once again from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou permittest us to gather in this evening around thy holy word in this weekday, and when we have gone about the labors of our hands in this day, as fathers, as mothers, and as children in school. And Lord, thou knowest all that is in our hearts. When it is a week, a special week for us, wherein we attempt to make preparation for thy Sabbath day, when thy holy supper is to be administered in the midst of us, and then we have heard upon thy day that it is a holy supper, a supper for which we are called to prepare and to sanctify ourselves, for therein thou comest to dwell, with thy children and to commune with them in a special way in that ordinance which thou hast given unto thy church for their strength and for their comfort. And thou knowest the necessity, and therefore hast thou given it. For they are also in the midst of us. But thou knowest how that it is within the heart of each and every one of thy children. For we live in a day which comes to the end of this world. And thou sayest, when the Son of Man is come, shall he find faith on the earth? Then it shall be not only few in number, but it shall also be small in strength. That thou must say, even as thou hast said unto thy disciples, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it should obey you. But Lord, thou knowest how that it is. Then we live in a time of great prosperity and in this world. But that is not such a time of prosperity in the midst of thy church. For there is much cleaving to the flesh and to the world and to all that is vain and carnal. That is making that true faith to languish. And there is much drawing by that prince of darkness. That he may disrupt the comfort of thy true people. Lord, then they have a heart that is full of flesh, that is desiring and looking and longing for this world, even though they have been taught so otherwise in their life. But as thou hast to complain of thy church of old, so it is today, that thou hast left thy first love. Oh, that thou may look upon that church also in this evening hour and in this week, to give them once again that burning as it was in the heart of those who went unto Emmaus, that under the administration of thy prophetical office, that their hearts may burn within them, And that thou thyself may speak through our mouth, that the desire may go out once again as it did in the days of old, and that their hunger and their thirst may be revived in order that they may eat and drink. When thou settest before them upon thy day the tokens of thy suffering and of thy death, that thou may so feed thy people who are so dependent upon thee for everything, and that thou may lead them into all of thy truth from step to step in the way of free and sovereign grace, and to the great wonderment of their soul by renewal, and that thy name may be glorified also in this world, when the mouth of thy church may go open, Lord, that it may be in the midst of us also, that those that may have a little more experience and have been a little longer upon that way may be given to speak for the edification of the young ones, and that thou may look also upon them. For there are those in thy church that are born, but that do not know yet their right hand from their left. And then also in such a week as this, thou knowest all that lies within their breast. Lord, that thou may look on them also in all of their need, and that thou may give them clarity in the way wherein thou leadest them, that thou may also lead them a step further upon that way, that they may be instructed more and more in who that they are in thy holy sight, in order that that self-righteousness which lieth within our hearts may be so broken down, that they may be given to see how deep that fall was, and so that it may become for that people, in all their love and in all their desire and in all their zeal, an impossible way from their own sight, and that a need of thy dear Son may be born in their heart, and when thou wilt reveal thyself in all their impossibility, in all thy beauty and all thy comeliness, Lord, that thou may so lead thy church in thy mercy. And when we have come up in this evening in a way of obedience, but when we must confess that we are still strangers of the first things that are necessary to know, O Lord, that thou may look on such ones also in this night. Lord, it cannot remain so, for thou knowest how serious that our life is, that it draws unto the grave, whether we are old or whether we are young. And so we need to be born again. Oh, that thou may use also thy word this night for that purpose, and do send thine arrow of conviction into the soul of this one or of that one in our midst, and that thou may give a life, an eternal life that will never die, and that thou may bring them out of that bondage of Egypt and the slavery of the prince of darkness, and that thou may baptize them in thy blood, and that thou may lead them into the wilderness, and that thou may there speak comfortably unto them. Oh, that thou may then look upon us as a congregation and also friends. Lord, wilt thou be with us, be in our midst as one that serveth, and remember all that had no desire to be here in this evening. Oh, there is nothing from our side that makes us to differ. But Lord, that thou may draw in the midst of our congregation in mercy, and that thou may remember those that were not able to be here in this night, and that thou may visit also in their places, look on the children that have been brought home from the hospital, strengthen them once again in their weak bodies, give knowledge to the physicians to interpret the tests that have been taken, and that thou may guide in the ways and the needs for the body and for soul together. Strengthen the parents in the way that thou leadest them, and use the means for their own welfare. Be thou also with the father of our brother deacon. In all the needs of his body, Lord, thou knowest all that it is. Make thou it well for time and for eternity, as thou alone art able. So look on us then this night. Lord, help us. And be on our right hand and on our left in the preaching of thy word. As we have gone, Lord, at thy own command, thou knowest. Wilt thou then fulfill feelingly and believingly the word that to us thou hast spoken, as thou hast helped us every time thus far, that thou may come in with thy word this night and give the prophet in the midst of us to the glory of thy name, to the salvation of our soul, to the instruction and the clearing of the case of thy dear children. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, the first three stanzas. Thou art my God, O God of grace. and earnestly I seek thy face, and my heart cries out for thee, and my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 164. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. How is it, congregation? How is it in this week of preparation thus far? There really is no mark like this mark, like the mark concerning the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, it is a mark that is much abused because there are multitudes in this world that do claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus says that they will declare that love, they will speak of that love, they will speak of the many wonderful works that they have done in His name, but though they speak of Him, though they have magnified that name here on the world, still He will say to them, I never knew you. Thus we see that already fulfilled, the fruits of it coming out in that day, that multitude that cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, that they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And therefore, congregation, it is so necessary that we examine ourselves. This is a mark that though it is much abused in its true substance, it is a mark that cannot be missed. And why? Because it is actually the beginning of that experience of the only comfort in life and in death. Oh, thou whom my soul loveth. And now in this evening, it is necessary for us to try to distinguish, because it is a week of preparation. And we wish to be an aid also to each one of you in that work. And now this mark, O thou whom my soul loveth, concerning that mediator, as we have heard, that is not a mark that is distinguishing between the regenerate and the unregenerate when that regenerate is in the beginning of the way. And why not? Well, we have heard that because this is not a mark that belonged to the daughters of Jerusalem. And they indeed were on that way, but they had never come to such a place. And therefore, it is not as if we must say that when a person has not come so far, then he has not been brought so far as to have that love to be centered, to be fixed upon that mediator, that he is indeed outside of that kingdom of God. No, that is not necessarily so, because the daughters of Jerusalem, they had citizens' rights. And those daughters of Jerusalem, they could not speak yet of this love in their life. But now this mark that is eventually distinguishing between Christian and pliable. After Christian, he is coming onto that wicked gate. Why? Because pliable never came to that place. And those were two that seemed to walk together, that no man in an outward way could tell the difference between, that seemed to walk together under the law. And we know Paul says that the law that is a schoolmaster unto Christ. However, that is only when that law that is under when that people are under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Because when that law is in the hand of a mere religious professor, where does it bring him? It brings him to the city of morality. It brings him to Mr. Civility. It brings him on the way, even as that rich young ruler. And for him, there was no place, there was no room for Christ. And for him, then it was never said by him, "In truth, O thou whom my soul loveth." Thus it is in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit that the truth of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is actually becoming known. That is unto the sinner and also unto the church, because it is then that our fathers would say, "Welcome in the strife." And it is then that faith is now fixed upon that object which is able to give to that people that only comfort in their life. And it is then that the Lord's Supper actually begins to have meaning in the life of a person, so that it begins to be for that people food and drink for their soul. Thus we say, how is it now concerning what that bride has testified, and when that bride has said, "O thou whom my soul loveth," or was there then ever room made in our heart for him? Or has the Holy Spirit, has he ever made you even in a personal way as an unclean thing? Has he ever shown to you that your righteousnesses, that they are all as filthy rags? Or has he ever opened anything of that blessed mediator to your soul in all of your wretchedness and in all of your misery? Or has he ever shown to you something of that new and that living way, when for you it had become such an impossibility in your life? Has he ever opened that way so that he became so precious to you, that he became to you that only way that you could be reconciled once again unto your Maker? Oh, did you ever see him? Did you ever see in him that freeness of that sovereign grace that the Lord is bestowing upon his church? And did that ever become the greatest wonder in your life, that there was a possibility also for such a one as you are? O thou whom my soul loveth, then certainly our heart for the first time in our life is going to begin to go out after that second person, that blessed mediator. Congregation, it is possible that we cannot deny that we know something at least of this in our life. And yet that we have so many riddles, yet we have so many questions, that it is as if we are not able to take this over to be our own, that we are not able to count ourselves among that true people of the Lord. And why? Because you say there are so many things that are so contradictory. And when I look at my life, then I say, how is it possible? Or if it be so, if it be the Lord's work, then how is it possible that I am thus? That there is this great struggle within my womb? The hypocrite is bold, And he quickly includes himself. But what do we read in God's word? The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek. And those meek, they are the ones who need also to be assured by the Lord. And thus, in this evening, we wish to consider further as Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, at which we have begun last Sabbath day. Song of Solomon 1, verses 7 and 8. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. So far the words of our text. The bride asks after the feeding place of the flock. First, her address to the bridegroom. Second, her request of the bridegroom. Third, her answer from the bridegroom. The bride asks after the feeding place of the flock. First, her address to the bridegroom. Second, her request of the bridegroom. And third, her answer from the bridegroom. And as Sunday we considered the first point, the bride's address to the bridegroom, O thou whom my soul loveth. And thus tonight we begin with our second thought, her request of the bridegroom. And what does that bride then say? That bride then says, tell me. And why does she say, tell me? Because she does not know. Thus, what is that? That is a confession of her ignorance. And who is this? And this is the bride. And this is the experienced church of God. Do you understand that, young people? When the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus, then they did not ask the Lord Jesus if he would teach them. They did not ask with this bride, tell me. They did not come to him for instruction. Yes, they said, tell me, but they had such a different purpose. They wanted to drive the Lord Jesus into a corner. They wanted to put the Lord Jesus, as it were, into a trap. But there was no room in the heart of the Pharisees for the instruction of the Lord Jesus. Young people, we live in a so-called Christian world. And in this so-called Christian world that we live in, and then we see there is a people who know it. They are not ignorant. No, but even if they are young, thus even when they are just teenagers, and young people, then they already know it. And they already will tell you. And they already are going to tell you how it is and how it has to go. And they can tell you all about faith. And now we have the experienced bride. And she has been led upon that way. And the Lord has been leading her. The Lord has been instructing her. And we find nothing of that modern day spirit in the life and in the heart of that bride. Nothing of it at all. No, it is just the opposite. That she says, tell me. Thus it is a bride who feels her need of something. That is her need of Christ in his prophetical office. That is now the way of the true church. That is now the true church, even though she has been led so far upon that way, as experienced as she is. That church who is justified even in the court of her conscience, that church that is and that may say also of herself that she is loved by her bridegroom, that her bridegroom has spoken unto her, I am married unto you. Oh, it is even this bride who is asking, who is seeking, who is yearning, who is longing for instruction from that bridegroom. Why? Because it is a people who experience that they do not know, with everything that they have experienced in their life, they do not know what the next step is for them. No, they do not know how that the Lord is now going to lead them further in their life. Because they experience that the Lord is working in such a mysterious way that His paths, they are through the sea. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Thus it is a people who desire then to be instructed. And they desire to have that ignorance that they feel within themselves. They desire that that ignorance would be taken away, that it would be removed. Thus, it is not just a matter of indifference for them, whether they know or whether they don't know. No, they say, tell me, Lord, teach me, Lord, lead me into thy truth. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Thus the bride is addressing the bridegroom now in the analogy of a shepherd. And that work of that shepherd, that is one of the capacities in which that bridegroom is revealing himself, is showing himself unto his bride. That is only one of his works. That is only one of his capacities, as it were. And he is by time showing this unto his bride, because this is so comforting unto his bride. And why is that so comforting? Well, because he is caring for his flock. And because sheep, they are such defenseless animals. They need someone to take care of them, children. They need someone to protect them. And they are such ignorant animals. They are animals that are so prone to wander out of the way. And once they have wandered out of the way, then they are an animal that is not able to find their way back again unto that flock. Thus, that church is learning something about themselves. They are instructed by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord shows to that church that they are indeed, that they have indeed that same character as one of those sheep. That the more that they learn of themselves, the more they see their own ignorance. The more they learn about themselves, the more they see how that they are so prone to wandering. And that they, when they have strayed out of the way, which they are easily able to do, they are not able to bring themselves back into that way again. Thus, it is a great comfort to that church that they are under the guiding hand of that shepherd. And therefore, David has sung of it, boys and girls. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Oh, that was such a comfort unto David. Is that also your desire? Or have we never learned ourselves to be just as one of those ignorant and those wayward sheep that we have no need and we have no desire for such a shepherd. So the Lord speaks through the mouth of Ezekiel. And when the Lord has taken his children and brought them because of their sin into captivity, and then the Lord says, "Behold, I will both search out and seek for my sheep." Just, he says, just as it is in that day that a shepherd, he is standing in the midst of his flock. And when they have wandered away, he is bringing them back again. So he says, "I will deliver, I will bring my children back again in that way that they are not able to return." Thus a comfort to a people who are not able to return anymore as those scattered sheep. And that is now the experience in the life of that true church. And now this bride, as she is addressing the bridegroom in such a way, then it is evident that that bridegroom, he has revealed something to her in his life, that he has shown something to her of this capacity in which that he is serving her, that he, she is addressing him once again, and that she is appealing, as it were, this work of that mediator in which he is guiding and bringing his children back into communion with himself after that they have strayed away from him. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." What does that bride not know? And what does that bride now desire to know? She says, "Tell me." By nature, congregation, then we want to know things too. We want to know all of the wisdom of this world. And then for the most part, we are abusing the wisdom of this world. But then there are others that also want to know other things. They are interested more in religious things. They are interested, for example, in the canon of the scriptures, how that the scriptures have been brought together. They are interested, for example, in Jewish social life. They are interested, for example, in the dominion of the Syrian empire or the Babylonian empire. Oh, there are so many things. There are so many things in the Bible. There are so many religious things that are so very interesting. And then it is possible that we are not so interested in all the wisdom of this world, but we are looking as it were into the Bible, and we are searching the Bible, and we are studying all of these things. But now what does that bride say? That bride says, Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest." Why? Because she is hungry. Because she desires to be fed. No, she is not reading and searching in the Holy Scriptures, that she may learn what that Jewish social life was all about. She is not reading and searching that she may know how that the scriptures, they have been put together into one book, into the canon of the scriptures. No. No, there are so very many interesting things that she is not seeking, that she is not searching out in that holy word of God. Why? Because there is something else. There is something else that has her interest. There is a need in her, and that is actual hunger. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest." That is not where thou eatest.
not where thou feedest thyself, but where that thou feedest others. Where that thou feedest thy flock. Thus, there is something within that bride that is making her to ask, that is making her to inquire, to search after this most necessary thing that is food. And food is not necessary, boys and girls, to one who is dead. No, food that is necessary for one who is alive. And why do they need food? Because we are not able just to uphold ourselves in our life. No, it is necessary that we are eating. It is necessary that we are drinking, that we may be upheld in our life. And sometimes the life of that people is so languishing that they are not even able to detect any more of a hunger and of a thirst in their soul. That they fear that it is gone altogether. That they see themselves and they feel themselves sometimes to be like Gallio, who cared for none of these things. And yet, it is the very complaint of that people. It is the very complaint of that people that is revealing the dissatisfaction in their soul with the condition, the way that it is within their soul. It is their very complaint that is revealing that there is actually yet hunger within their heart. Tell me, she says, tell me where thou feedest. And now it is the object of her searching, it is the object of her hunger that determines the nature of her life, the kind of life that she is living. Because we know that the natural life hungers too. And the natural life hungers after that which is natural. Or the natural life even hungers after that which may be religious. But it is the spiritual life that hungers for that which is spiritual. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. They say today God helps them that help themselves. Thus you must believe the promises. Shall we show you out of God's word how that it is in actuality in the life of God's true people? Shall we show you how that it is in the life of that experienced bride? Whom does she address? That bride is addressing her bridegroom who is absent. She cannot find him. And thus this is the reality. The reality is that second person, that he is often so hidden in the life of that true church of God. No, she is not ignorant of him. Oh, we have heard that. Oh, that he has revealed himself. We have heard that she was married unto him, and that king, she has brought her even into his chambers. Oh, she knows who that bridegroom is. But congregation, when it comes to hunger, then that bride is not able to do with that food that she has eaten yesterday. Can you understand that, boys and girls? You say, yesterday I ate. Yes, but today, then you need to eat again.
And you may remember so well that delicious meal that you had, but that is not able to give you nourishment and strength for today. Oh, then you remember it, but then that relish for that meal that is gone. And so it is here with that bride. Oh, where that bride was brought yesterday by that bridegroom to feed, she cannot find him today. He is gone. And she has a memory how that he has brought her into his chambers. And she can yet speak of this, but it is not sufficient to give her strength for this day. And thus she is looking again, where shall I now find him again? Where shall now I feed upon him with my soul? Oh, where shall I taste once again that the Lord is gracious? Where shall I experience once again the freeness of his mercy and of his grace? Oh, where shall I see him once again in all of his beauty over against all of my own wretchedness? Where shall I feel something again? Feel something of the power of the blood of Christ? That it may forgive all of my sin, that it may free me from the curse, that it may reconcile me unto God. Oh, that bride cannot find him, and she says, I shall not be able to find him until he is telling me where he is. Until he is showing me where he is, until he is leading me again into his presence. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, and where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon.
Thus it is not only to eat, but it is also to rest. Thus that bride, she does not only speak of hunger, but she also speaks about weariness. Why? Because of the warfare. We have heard it. And congregation, when we know nothing of that warfare, then we have to say, do not come unto that holy supper of the Lord. Because that warfare, that church here below, that is a church militant. And it is only the church militant that will one day become that church triumphant. And we have heard how that sin, her own sin that is following so hard after this bride, she says, mine own vineyard have I not kept. And then she has enemies, the world, Satan, a great company of enemies to lure her, to try to deceive her, to make her to fall, to mock with her, to discourage her. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. Oh, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But how much is now necessary to make them and to keep them poor in spirit? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Noon, that is the time of high sun. And actually here it says, the time of the double light. The time of the double light. The light coming up, as it were, and that light going down, that noontime when that sun that is burning the hottest. What does David say? He says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my soul longeth for thee in a dry, in a thirsty land. Oh, there is nothing that is so necessary for that church. That they might know that favor of the Lord. But how much is coming against
that favor of the Lord in their life. What is it for the virgins? What is it for the virgins, for the upright? All that is for them to know, is it now right or is it not right? Oh, 'tis the point I long to know. Am I his or am I not? Oh, then she cannot yet speak as that bride who is married unto that bridegroom. And though for the bride, then it is not a question concerning her state. Though for the bride, it is not a question concerning justification in her life. Yet, oh, she needs that bridegroom. Why? Because of the need for sanctification. Because of the continual pollution and the corruption of her heart. Thus, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Oh, that well was not so far away from Hagar. In all her need, it was a fountain that was able to fulfill all her need, all her thirst, and also for her son. And it was, as it were, but a few steps away from her, but her eyes are holding, and she is not able to see it. O congregation, that freeness of grace, the freeness, that is something that is so often closed up for that church of God. It is something that needs to be reopened time and time again in a personal way for the refreshing of the hungry and of the thirsty. And why? Because to increase in unworthiness is a way of cutting off in my life. And what is it that is opened up continually to that church? We said it is a warfare. Thus it is the knowledge of sin. And when that knowledge of sin is increasing, then the unworthiness in the life of that people that is increasing, and that is continually cutting that people off, because the wonder then is becoming greater and greater in the life of that people that such a one could possibly be brought into that blessed communion with the Lord. And thus, when that wonder that is increasing, oh, then it is that time and time again that the Lord must show them how that freeness of that grace that is wide, as it were, as the ocean. They must see that freeness that is wider than all the sin for which they are so worthy to be condemned. And therefore we see the reason, therefore we see the need that the Lord is revealing himself, that the Lord is coming time and time again, and that the Lord is opening something of that blessed wonder of his grace in his Son. Oh, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And so the church reveals another mark. And what is that mark? That is self-knowledge. She is afraid of herself. Oh, she says, Lord, I do not want to turn aside. I don't want to turn aside to the flocks of thy companions, who are his companions. They are not his real companions. Children, no. But they are actually companions. They are actually those who set themselves over against the Lord Jesus. But they make a pretense. They pretend that they are the companions of Christ.
And these companions have many followers. But what does the bride say? She says, I am just as prone now to follow after one of these companions. I am just as prone to go off in the wrong direction. I am just as prone to follow a heresy. I am just as prone to follow a false Christ, especially when she is in the midst of the heat of that warfare and of persecution. Tell me where thou feedest. Tell me where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Oh, why should I be as one who has left to commune with empty professors? Why should I be as one who is found resting on a false hope of the hypocrite? Why should I be as one whose soul is falling for the temptations of the idols and the lust of the flesh? Why should I be as one who is following a false teacher? Oh, that hazard. She says, I am so liable to this if I am not kept, if I am not led, if I am not brought by that shepherd himself, guided, that church congregation finds in themselves nothing. Nothing ever. Less and less. So that to the end of their life, to their last breath, oh, then it is increasing that they have to agree with what the Lord Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. No righteousness, no strength, no faithfulness, no goodness. And therefore, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Let us sing 362, 2 and 3. I wait for God, the Lord, and on His word my hope relies. My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise. I look for Him to drive away my night. Yea, more than watchmen look for morning light. 2 and 3 of 362.
Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. If thou know not, there is nothing that that bride does not know that is hidden from that bridegroom. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and in knowledge. And now in his tenderness, in the tenderness of that bridegroom, and then he is feeling for that bride, feeling for her in her perplexities, feeling for her in the riddles, and feeling for her in a special way when she has no desire to be led astray. And now that bridegroom, in that tenderness, Isaiah says how that he will be to them as a shepherd, and he will carry the little lambs in his arm, and he will lead those that are with young very gently. He knows everything that that bride does not know. He knows how to provide for her. He knows how to refresh her in the heat. He knows how to guide her in the snares. He knows how to support her in her sufferings. Oh, if thou know not, oh, thou fairest among women. What has that bride said to him? Oh, thou whom my soul loveth. And now what does he say back to her? He says back to her, oh, thou fairest among women. And that is now such a great wonder to that church, but we have not time for everything. We hope to see that also further. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, and now he gives her instruction. What does he say? He says, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. What are footsteps, children? Footsteps, or actually like footprints, imprints. And when those sheep have gone and we can't see them anymore, and when that ground has been soft, well, then you can see just where those sheep have been, because they have left something behind, and they have left behind imprints in the ground. So that it is possible now that we are walking and we are going right in that same way as that flock of sheep. And do you know, young people, what a blessed thing it is to live in the New Testament time? Do you know what a blessed thing it is to live in the end of the world? There are so many things that we would say they are not so blessed. And we can see in so many ways that the end of this world that is coming so, so very quickly. But there are also blessings. And what is that? Well, there is a pathway. There is a pathway that has been shown to us by those sheep which have gone before. It is a pathway of the church of old, and the Lord himself is now directing the church to follow in that pathway that church has gone in. By Jeremiah, the Lord says, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And now what does the bridegroom say? Would you know, O thou fairest among women? Do you want to know where I feed? Where I feed my flock and where I make my flock to rest at noon? Now you must look and you must consider all of the examples that I have left behind for you, how that I have and where that I have led my flock. Because you are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Oh, it is true that this one he has in his personal life wandered off as a sheep in that direction. And that one has wandered off in that direction. Oh, follow them not when they have wandered off in their own ways. But, oh, look now in the ways that I have led them. As a great shepherd has led his sheep, look in those ways that I have brought them again. And that I have led them once again to a city of habitation. Consider their walk. Consider their conversation. Who confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that they were seeking a city that hath foundations. No, follow not after Lot, who we can read he has had not so much communion with the Lord in Sodom, though he has vexed his righteous soul day by day. But consider and go in the ways, follow in the path, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. And now those footsteps also of that doctrine, the footsteps of that doctrine which that people they held onto and they would not let go. That old tried truth that has not deceived and made one of that people be put to shame. That is not a doctrine that was according to their flesh. Read that now in the Word of God. Because it is a doctrine. It is a way that the Lord is leading that people, that he says it is through much tribulation that they must enter into that kingdom of God. But what did John say? He says, he must increase and I must decrease. And that is now the pasture. That is that pasture that that great shepherd is leading his flock into. It is a pasture of free and sovereign grace, wherein nothing of man is ever going to enter in. But man is going to be stripped from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot of all of his own strength and of his own righteousness, that he may be in himself wounds and bruises and putrefying sores and the flesh of that people that is going to rebel against this way of the Lord. But sometimes, oh, sometimes by moments, the soul is going to so acquiesce and so agree with that way that they would never choose another way in their life. Because it is so to the Lord's honor and is so to the comfort and salvation of their soul. Oh, if thou knowest, if thou know not, oh, thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Oh, the shepherds, who are the shepherds? The shepherds are God's servants. They are the true servants of the Lord. Oh, they are those who, as it were, they are keeping unto that beaten path. And they are those who are not being carried away with strange and diverse doctrines. Thus, that bride, she is instructed to go where? She is instructed to walk in the way of the ordinances of the Lord. She is instructed to go now in the way of that ordained ministry that is instituted by the Lord. And it is given by the Lord for his own purpose, for the instruction, for the comfort of his people. And what does he say? He says that I am going to meet them there, and that I am going to commune with them there. And therefore, that is now what that people, and when they have such a desire in their soul as that bride, oh, that is then now what that people are not allowed to neglect, if they would be now fed in their soul. And it is under also these ordinances, it is under those shepherds that he says, bring now also your kids and feed your kids beside the shepherd's tents. Feed your children, feed the young ones that are within that church, and bring them under the good instruction, that wholesome and that soul-saving and profiting instruction to the glory of the name of the Lord. And thus, what does the Lord say? He says, go by my flock. All remain by my flock. That is who the bridegroom is caring for. That is whom the bridegroom is dwelling with. And then he is going to see you there.
And he is going to meet with you there. And he is going to reveal himself to you there. And he is going to speak there unto your soul. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent congregation Sunday, the Lord's Supper. And then we have considered something of what lay in the heart of that bride. And what was it? Love. Love for that bridegroom, O thou whom my soul loveth. And a missing of that bridegroom. And a desire that the separation between her and that bridegroom would be taken away. Now we are called to self-examination. Could we follow along with that life of the bridegroom? Is there now that desire and that longing in our heart also with that life in what is in the life of that bride? Is that also now the life, the desire, the longing that is living in our own soul? Then we are called, he says, to use that public ordinance that is appropriate and that is given unto us, or that we may do so with that same desire of the bride, in order that his own promise may be fulfilled, and that there may be room and that there may be place, so that we may be fed, that we may be nourished with his poured out blood and his broken body. But congregation, there are also others. There are also those whom Bunyan describes in his book. Who are they? They are the daughters of Jerusalem. They are the children, not the young men and the fathers, but the children in grace. Where are they? They have come out. They have come out of that city of destruction. Why? Because they cannot live there anymore. Because this world that has become death to them, because they have to die, and they have to meet God, and because they cannot die, and because they do not dare to stand before God in judgment. And now, if it was asked of you in this night, as Bunyan asked, do you see yonder wicked gate? Do you see Christ? Do you see the mediator? Was he ever revealed to your soul? Then you must say, no. No. Then if it is asked of you, do you see yonder shining light? Do you see something? You see something emanating from the Word of God? You see something precious there? Is there something there that draws you? Is there something there for which you have come out of this world and for which you have left all your former friends and your former life? And then you say, I think so. I think so. Why? Because you do not dare to say yes.
Oh, what light that Bunyan was given. And now what did he say to such ones? He said to such ones, keep your eye on that light. He said, go directly to it. He said, keep searching. Keep coming under that holy word of God. Keep coming under the preaching. And so shalt thou see the light. Oh, then do not let him go except he bless you. Then there will come a time that he will come over. And there will come a time when you shall lie at the bottom of that Mount Sinai as one who is condemned, as one who knows no longer how to get back on that right path. And then he will show you. Then he will show you. Because the Lord does not bring his people there to leave them there. But then he will show you. And then he will open something. Or whether it be just a little bit or more. When there is light that shines but through a little crack in the prison. When it is so pitch black. Then that people, they see nothing but the light. And that light, though it is even so small, is so full. All then the Lord give, that you may stay there. Where he has led you, and that the Lord give that he may lead you further to that place where that Son of God, that second person, may become so precious, may become your all and in all. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us instruction in thy ways. Oh, we are so ignorant and foolish. But wilt thou bless thy word and all that was of thee, and draw us that we might run after thee, and wilt thou make clear the case of thy people, and supply for them in this week and upon thy Sabbath day. Oh, give us that true hunger, for the first time or by renewal, that it may not be a form and a custom, and may not be a mere obedience, but that we may desire, and that we may receive that food and drink as a great wonder, as the bread of life. Bring us safely to our homes, forgive all that was sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 417, stanzas 1 and 3. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. 1 and 3 of 417.
Lord, O Lord,
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.